Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
How awesome. Alice has been added to the family of God in the waters of holy baptism, and we rejoice today in this gift. Now the text that is before us is Luke 12, and I'm not going to read the text, but because we just read it, but it does bring up a common problem in parenting that grandparents and great-grandparents have as well, right? We like to worry. We do. I have to ask this, though, since all of us seem to have the same problem, we like to worry. Has worrying ever done us any good? Tell me one thing it's ever fixed. Tell me one budget it's ever solved, problem-wise. Any funds it's ever raised? Any health it's ever healed? Yet we all still do it. It's part of our fallen, sinful nature to worry because we by nature want to feel that we are the ones in charge. We're the ones in control. That's the beauty of the symbolism of baptism. Right? It's being done to us, not by us, but for us. You see, this passage is our Lord's commentary on his talk with his disciples from the parable of the rich fool that we looked at last week. You remember Jesus had just finished teaching the crowds how to avoid false doctrine. And unnamed man comes up and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Or to put it another way, "Tell my brother he's wrong and needs to give me my stuff." Jesus then warns the hearers to take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Then he tells the parable of the rich fool who stored up for himself only to be called a fool by God and his life demanded of him that night. And so Jesus declares, "So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." Then our text begins, "Therefore I tell you." Jesus says this to his disciples, thus making this text his commentary on dealing with the topic of possessions. This is a topic that most of us desire absolutely no help from the pastor or the church on. Because when pastor and church attempt to do this, it is said that all we do is talk about money. How many of you have ever heard somebody, "I don't go to church anymore"? Why? Because all they do is talk about money. Right? How funny that comment is, because it reminds me that if your church is only talking about money and not Jesus, then you really don't need to stop going to church. You need to find a different church. And if you think that's all they're doing, then maybe you need to repent of your demon, of your God that you've made out of your funds. Yet when we watch the news or get the call from the doctor, see our investment statements as the market has been doing its joyful thing to us for the last year or so, go shopping or put gas into your vehicles, thank the Lord it's coming down, or attempt to buy school supplies and clothes for the kids, we will do well to hear our Lord's text today to not be anxious. And I know you all are saying, "Easier said than to do." And I have to confess, I agree 100%. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh always want to make us doubt our Heavenly Father's provision. So let us hear the comfort of our text from our Lord's own words. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's what Alice received today, the kingdom. It's her gift, her inheritance. She is an heir of the kingdom of heaven, and we rejoice today in that. Yet the flesh struggles as we are so tempted to turn this text into some kind of a guilt trip, a guilt trip of giving law to us rather than the comfort of the gospel. And this is gospel that Jesus is laying before us. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For the life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Just look at the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, yet your Father provides for their needs. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like these. But if God clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Here's the little law, O you of little faith. These words are not intended, though, to be a guilt trip. It's not intended to cause more struggle on those who are struggling with the sin of doubting God's promise and not trusting His promise to answer our prayers for daily bread. What Jesus is showing us is examples to give us comfort. Your Heavenly Father, who has called you by name, just as He did Alice today in baptism, called you each by name, marked you as His own, an heir of the kingdom of heaven, with the sign of the cross upon your forehead and your heart, marking you as one redeemed by Christ crucified, will spare nothing. When you doubt it, Jesus says, look to the birds. Look at the lilies in the field. Oh, of how much more value are you than the birds? Why? Contrary to some of the environmental wackos in our culture today, we are the only part of creation that was made in the image of God. That's why. From womb to tomb, humans are made in the image of God. And they are of much more value than the birds, the air, and the fish of the sea, and everything else that creeps and crawls upon it. And if that's not enough, then we get the perfect illustration of how much value God places on our life. Look to the cross. With the only begotten Son hanging there to pay the full cost of our sinfulness. Doubt it? Hear our Lord's own words when He proclaims from the cross, it is finished. He doesn't say, okay, I've done my half. You guys finish it off. That would really stink. He doesn't say, I brought you to the starting line, as some denominations will teach about baptism, that it only brings us to the beginning, only gets rid of original sin and not the actual sins that we commit in thought, word, and deed each day. But it is in that font that all sins are drowned in Jesus' death and resurrection. Those waters are waters we live in the rest of our lives. Those waters bring us to receive His body and blood in with and under at the altar. Those waters give us the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith so that these things give us what we need the most, the forgiveness of sins, because it is indeed finished. This is the joy of the absolution. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of what you were baptized into, which becomes your last name as a child of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven. You come to His table and receive Christ's body and blood, given and shed again for the forgiveness of your sins, for your grief-stricken soul needs Christ's comfort. Precisely because we are those of little faith, our sinful hearts often underestimate the grace, mercy, and love of God. You see, our needs are no different than anyone else in this world. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Sadly, though, not all rejoice that God is their Father, who will spare nothing, not even His Son. No wonder those whose minds are on things below are always looking for things that appear to be successful or powerful, because it eases their fear and anxieties of falling short and being out of control. No, our Lord calls those who have faith to seek the kingdom of God. And these things will be added to you as well. I love that hymn, the verse, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I love the hymnal committee's joke. Hymn 666. Our evangelical friends would freak out. We even had churches that sent this hymnal back because it contained the number 666 as if that was some magical, powerful thing. Lord have mercy. Seven always trumps six. Water always gets rid of it when it's joined with the Word of God. The body and blood of Christ always get rid of it. You see, we have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, nothing to be anxious about, for Christ has done it all for us. All our sins are forgiven. This is our Lord's words of encouragement to His disciples. The same disciples who are going to run away in fear in the Garden of Gethsemane, who are going to hide behind locked doors for fear of being put to death themselves, only to return forgiven and emboldened to even stand up to the face of mobs and rulers and die confessing that which is true. That Jesus died and rose again on the third day for your salvation. He and mine, He is the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world. You see, our treasures are not lost in stock market fall, in unemployment crunches, not even in the rising cost of everything. No, for the Christian, our new heart is where the true treasure is, with Jesus, where moth and rust cannot destroy. So again, let us hear our Lord's comforts. Fear not, little flock. And today, Alice is added to that flock. She could have been confessing that faith in the womb. We don't know. That's the Holy Spirit's work, not mine. But we know she's been added by grace through faith in Christ today. For the Father has joined and promised through the Son, the Spirit's coming. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let us have peace today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.